Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
Hello, hello.
Yes, praise the Lord, everybody. It's been a wonderful, wonderful day. God has been so good unto us. Let me just tell you how good God is. I'm alive. I'm healthy. I can put one foot in front of the other. Nobody's carrying me. So I have a testimony on my heart to say just how good my God is. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is April 14th, Palm Sunday. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I'm joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, sir. How you doing this evening?
I am blessed, doctor. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Excited for tonight's show and having a great week and ready to start the new week.
Amen. Amen, doctor. Amen. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. Just press the number 1 and you will be placed in queue, and at that appropriate time, you will be able to speak to Brother Hakim and myself. Amen. I'd just like to start out the show with prayer. I always say it, and I will say it until the day I die, that I am a firm believer that prayer changes things. Amen. That means that if there's something going on in your life and you are not you do not like what is going on and you need things to change, then that means that you need to fall on your knees. Amen. I am a firm believer that simple communication can change things. So if simple communication between two humans or a number of humans can change things, what will happen when you start the supernatural communication between you and the Almighty Father? So what I'm saying is, let us go to the throne of grace. Eternal Father, we just thank you for this great day. We thank you for this appointed time, for this appointed hour. We ask right now, Father, that you would bless this show, Father. Bless all those, Father, within the sound of my voice. Bless those, Father, who had a desire to listen, Father, but for whatever unforeseen circumstance, Father, they were unable to reach the show. We ask now, Father, that you will touch in a mighty way, that you will anoint in a mighty way, Father, that you would bless in a mighty way. I ask, Father, for a healing and a blessing for all the hosts on this network, Father, this great network that you've given us. Bless our lifeline, Brother Hakim, Father. Continue, Father, to show him your grace and your mercy, Father. We also ask that you will bless our leader, Michelle, Father, as she continues, Father, to show us her will for this network, Father, that you will show her your will for this network, Father, and let the two be combined and aligned. We thank you now, Father, for the blessings that you are about to bestow upon us. Now, Father, I ask that you will bless me, Father, your servant. Use me in a mighty way. I thank you, Father, for always hearing my prayer. You're such a wonderful God. You're a good God. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. To you, the listeners, I want to tell you that I am happy and I am full of inexpressible joy. And I hope that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to stand on God's word, But more importantly, my job is to be a shoulder to those who need somebody to lean on. You see, when we share each other's burdens and when we help each other through the problems and troubles and the situations, then after it's all said and done, both sides will praise God for his miraculous works. Thus, God has now gained yet another follower. So I believe that as a Christian first, and as a preacher second, and as a pastor third, it is my job to look after God's people. Sometimes it don't always end up the way that I want to. Sometimes I get scammed and I get shafted, but guess what? At the end of the day, my God supplies all, he sees all, and he knows all. So I'm here to let you know, never, ever think that what you do is in vain. For only what you do for God will last. Amen. Before we move on, I just want to talk for a minute about this week. This is the start of Holy Week. As we are on a path, a road to salvation, I love this week. This week allows me to get just a little closer to my Jesus through the sacrifices that he made for me, for you, for all of us. I am just so grateful to him. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to see us there. He saw the need, and he sprung into action. So when you think about it, we should give Jesus our all in all. Our first fruits. The first fruit of our day. That means the best part of our day. The one thing that I love, as I have studied all types of religion and religious factions and denominations, and I'm not going to consider myself to be a pro, but I am going to consider myself to be well-trained in religious organizations and denominations. I love how the Muslims pray. 6 times a day, they pray. What would a Christian's life, what would your life be? What would God do in your life if you prayed 6 times a day? Strictly praying. Boldly praying. Not just in the morning time when you wake up and over your food and back before you go to bed, but 6 bold prayers a day. Start now. What would happen in your life? You see, I'm the Jehovah's Witness. They go door to door. They walk and they talk and they sing and they go and they have this joy for what they do. I can't say that I agree with a lot of things that they go on, but what I am saying is they zeal. Do you have the zeal that they have? This year coming up, after Easter and we start and we go through, I'm going to really touch on that. Are we doing all that we can do? The church itself is dying. It's dying because nobody wants to be in church. It's an attack on the church. We have to do something about that. God is asking, where are my real soldiers? Where are my real people? That's what he wants. Now, don't get me wrong, it's okay to have a big mega church, amen. God bless you if that's what you have, and you're able to minister that way, and that's what God has given you. That's a blessing. Not all mega churches and not all pastors of mega churches are bad. We have some good ones out here. What I'm saying is, it's time that we stop looking at all this other stuff and get our minds and our souls back focused on the Lord. He's soon to come back. And I want to be in that number. So I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to start with me. I'm going to start with myself. And I urge you to do the same. Just for a second, I want to touch on another subject as well that goes along with what we were just talking about. Confessing Christ before man. It's important that we tell this world, this dying world, because the world dies a death every day. It dies. It's dying. But we have to tell these people about a living Savior. And my Jesus lives. My Jesus is alive. He sits as my mediator, my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. We have to tell these people the truth about what thus saith the Lord. You see, I have been learning a whole lot about this walk that I'm in. I love where it says in the Bible that one waters, one plants, one waters, but it's God that does the increase. God can change any situation that we're in. But we have to learn how to confess his Son as our Savior. And if we confess his Son as our Savior, it opens up the floodgates of heaven on our lives. And God will then pour out a blessing for you and for all those around you. Just remember that your blessings are not for you. They're for somebody else to see the goodness of God. So we have an obligation to tell this world about a man that took the worst beating that anybody could have ever imagined, suffered death upon the cross for our redemption. Let his most precious blood flow down, that it saturated this world and penetrated this world and made everything brand new. My Jesus did it for me and for you. Confess him teach him. Apply him to your life. And see what will happen. Things will turn around for you. God is waiting for you to confess his son. Accept him. If you do not believe me, then I urge you, I challenge you to try this test with your heart tonight, and not just with your mouth. Ask God, if your son is real, as I take this rest, show me. And mean it with your heart. And watch what happens. I promise you, you will see something that you've never seen before. And you'll be running to a church. Running there. God is just so good unto us. As I want to get into my message today, I want to read a scripture to you, which comes out of the gospel according to Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. And it reads, "Now when they drew near unto Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done so that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes went before, and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, and all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Gracious Father, use me in a mighty way so that I may touch your people. Let something today said, let something today done be a blessing unto you and unto your people. Let somebody be saved through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. For my subject today, all or nothing. I must admit that I have always been intrigued with the triumphant entry, as this Sunday represents the week before the crucifixion, and as we call it, Palm Sunday. When reading the blessed word of God, you will find that this is one of the few incidents that spans across the entire four gospels, creating solidarity amongst the authors and the storytellers. And as Jesus prepared for his impending rejection, death, burial, and resurrection, he knew that the presence of his Father would be his only source of peace. Everything that Jesus did in this world was to fulfill the scriptures that was written before him, to prove that the word of God would not return to the people in void. You see, the Jewish people of that time and of this contemporary era still believed that their Messiah will emerge and create an atmosphere where they will begin to become victorious over all nations. This leader will come in a form of a military leader and overthrow the hands of oppression while riding on this great stallion with a mighty sword and a mighty shield. Well, we see through this story that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did exactly what he said he was going to do. He did not come into Jerusalem on a mighty stallion. He did not come into Jerusalem with a sword and with a shield in his hand, but he did something that the scripture said that he would do. He came into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. A donkey. The only animal in that time that was considered to be the most dumbest, useless animal of them all. My Prince of Peace rode in on one of the most peaceful animals. You all know that a donkey don't bother anybody. But a donkey will defend itself if it has to. And as the people saw my Jesus, they marveled and they threw down their cloaks and they pulled palm branches from the trees and they opened the Jerusalem gates and for the first time they received Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah and the King. And it was at this time that Jesus no longer cared if those around him, these Sadducees and these Pharisees and these high priests and these men of the Mosaic law who clearly was only interested in their own gain. He did not care if they knew who he was. For his earthly ministry was getting ready to come to an end in one short week. But for Dante, something did not seem right with this story. For the Christian who may be reading this story for the first time, it should cause one to swell with great emotion, thinking to oneself that they have finally accepted Jesus as the one who was to come. They finally accepted Jesus after all that he did for the people, that he is now receiving his victory that is due him. But I had to do some digging. And as I put on my spiritual cap and I focused my spiritual eyes, I can see Jesus riding past all the people, blessing them, loving on them, caring for them. But I also see Jesus quoting scripture. I hear Jesus quoting Psalm 23 to himself, 23:4, saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley and of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your staff, they comfort me." My pastor and my friend, Reverend Dr. Robert L. Hope, taught me two things that I live by. The first is never get too comfortable in any situation where you lose focus of what is going on around you. The second thought that he taught me was always be aware that there will be some that will love you one day, but then hate you the next. The first thought we can all figure out, But let's focus for a minute on the second thought. Most of the people that were there accepted Jesus due to the fact that they thought that he was coming to remove the hands of Rome, the hands of oppression, and not accepting him as the savior of their souls. They accepted him because of their need for a messianic deliverer, one who would lead them in a revolt against Rome. Thus, with the idle talks of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these high priests among the people, the same ones who prayed Hosanna as he came into Jerusalem were the same ones who cried out, "Crucify him." James 4:17 says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." You see, Jesus was not concerned about what would happen to his body. He was not worried about what the people said. He knew that it was either now or never, 2 feet in or 2 feet out, all or nothing. The story teaches me to always be prepared for the battle ahead, to keep my mind, my body, and my soul focused on the mission of God. I am always reminded, always remind the people who you are and whose you are. Well, I am a Christian. I try my best to be Christ-like. If I had the power to give up this life so that a 90-year-old could experience the love of God, I would do it without hesitation. So I guess my question to you, my family, and my friends, is what side of the palm tree are you on? Are you on the side that sees Jesus as the one who supplied all your needs, when he healed your sickness, when he raised you from your deathbed, when he caught you in the midst of a sin, looked at you and said, "Your sins are forgiven, but sin no more"? Were you the one that was blind and at the feet of Jesus? Were you once blind, but now you see? Or perhaps you were the one that was at the pool in Bethesda, and every time you were supposed to get that blessing, somebody more qualified or stronger, or so they thought, got in the pool before you. And Jesus saw you, had compassion on you, and healed you from all your infirmities, and told you to get up and walk. Or maybe, just maybe, you were the one who jumped out the ship and ran to Jesus because you took your eyes off the prize, you began to sink. And just at the brink of death, Jesus saved you from drowning. Nah, but maybe you were the one with the issue of blood, and nobody could find a solution to your problems. But when you focused your eyes on Jesus, he came through like a mighty wind. And when you said, "All I got to do is touch the hem of his garment, so I'm going to fight, I'm going to bite, I'm going to claw, I'm going to grab, I'm going to push, I'm going to pull, I'm going to crawl, whatever I got to do to reach Jesus so that I would be healed, that's what I'm going to do." Were you the one that focused out and reached out to the hem of his garment and was made whole? First John 3:3 asserted that, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as Jesus is pure." Or are you one of those that's on the other side of the tree? Where you have to question if Jesus is who he says he really is. Are you one of those that says his name is not Jesus? There was no letter J in an Aramaic or Hebrew alphabet. I'm not going to call on the name of Jesus. His name is Joshua. Well, if you do your study, we know that his name, his Hebrew name, is Joshua. Or are you one of those who claims that Christianity is a white man's religion? And I'm going to focus all my strengths, all my talents, all my all on my African roots. Where those African roots will find you rooted and grounded straight in hell. Or maybe, just maybe, you are keeping a secret. Maybe you were one of those that yelled out, Hosanna to the highest. But because everyone around you yelled out, crucify him, you went along with the pack. And now you share the guilt of condemning an innocent man. Well, let me tell you, we all share in that condemning that innocent man. Because every time that we sin, we nail him right back to the cross. You see, Palm Sunday for me represents a great choice. It's either all or nothing. Are you truly happy at the sight of the coming of the Lord? Will you give Jesus your all? Or does the celebration of his upcoming resurrection mean nothing to you? John 3:16 declared, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What is Jesus doing for you right now? Jesus is walking a road to salvation. He's taking a path that nobody else could take. He's taking a step that nobody else could step. He's doing something that he knew that only he could do. And that is die for your sins. When Jesus took on the sins of man. You see, Jesus left his high place to become like us. He left his place of dwelling amongst the holy of holies to become like man, flesh and wicked. God in the flesh. So that we may be redeemed back to God. That we may know the joy and the mercies of our Lord and Savior. You see, this Palm Sunday, it's about a choice. Life or death. What do you choose? Which will you follow? How will you open yourself up? Will you walk with Jesus, or will you point the finger at him? Will you say, Hosanna to the highest, and mean it? Or will you say, crucify him? What will you do? I urge you to yell out, Hosanna to the highest. I urge you to focus your mind on Jesus. Don't yell, crucify him. For that is a guilt that you have to live with for the rest of your life. It's time that we start doing things right and in order. I see the coming of the Lord in all majesty, in all power, in all glory. And where he is, I want to be also. I want to be with my Jesus. You have a choice. You can choose to accept him, or you can choose to stay on your path. But whatever choice you make, stand up with that choice. And if it is the wrong choice, if you do not accept him, while the blood continues to run warm in your veins, you can always come back to him. He has a door open for you, an open door policy. Accept Jesus. Learn from him. Don't let this world tell you that he's not real. My Jesus is real. He loves me, and I love him. Because the Bible tells me that he is real. And on this Palm Sunday, as I look to my Jesus, I know for a fact, I know that he's ready to bless you. I'm going to stop right there. I pray if something that was said today has blessed your soul.